Blog Talk Radio.
What is going on, everyone? It is Friday Eve. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Man, do we have some stuff to get into today. It is absolutely crazy. Patrick Peterson? What the hell? That's all I can simply say is, what the hell? Makes absolutely no sense. None whatsoever. We'll get into exactly what I mean by that in a little bit. Zion's stepdad says everybody pump the brakes. I've heard people say that he shouldn't even go into the pros. He hasn't hired an agent. We'll go back to Duke. We'll talk about that. I'll tell you what really should happen with that and how people might want to shut the hell up. All that and so much more. I can't even set the table completely yet. But this is the Cave Show with PLR, and we have a couple special things going on today. My main man, Ed Cole, is going to guest host this show today. And from Executive Global Tours, we have the one and only J.P. Cone as well, coming up as well. This is the Cave Show with PLR, and we are brought to you by the one and only Maduro's Fine Tobacco, located at Alma School, 4991 South, Alma School to be exact. Get in there, let them know PLR sent you. They will take our purchase. Become a club member. Get a locker that backs directly up to a humidor. Never worry about your sticks going bad. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. Located at Alma School in Chama Heights. Again, let them know that PLR from the Cave Show sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase you have. A couple restrictions in there. Make sure you ask once you get in the door. Happy Friday Eve to everyone. Like I said, this is the Cave Show with PLR. I am not alone today. I got my main man with me, the one, the only, my brother in crime, Ed Cole. Ed, what's going on, man?
What is up, partner? Man, it's a lot of news we got to get to. A lot of stuff to talk about today.
Oh, let's start with the we're in Arizona, so let's start with the big news first. Patrick Peterson, at one point he wanted to be traded, then he didn't, then we didn't know. Now today we find out he's suspended for the first six games for violating NFL performance-enhancing drug policy. Ed, talk to me.
Man, I've been covering and following this Patrick since he came into the Cardinals in 2011, so I've known him personally for the last 8 years. He's a good dude. The fact that this came up and he's suspended for the first six games, like you said, for violation of the NFL's performance enhancing for PEDs, that is an absolute shocker to me. I know everybody else is shocked by this. This will be the first game that Patrick will ever miss in his career. This guy, he's a seven-time Pro Bowler, would have been eight this year. But this is most likely probably going to end that streak. But this is absolute shocker when I saw it on Twitter this morning. Paul, then you and I were texting back and forth a few hours before the show. This is an absolute floor for me, the fact that Patrick got busted for PEDs. He's going to lose almost $4 million in his salary, plus he's going to miss six games. I mean, it's just a horrible blow for the Arizona Cardinals and for Patrick Peterson. Clearly he's, if not the best, one of the best players on that team, arguably. I mean, there's no argument to that. He's one of the best players on offense or defense or special teams for the whole entire football team. He's one of the best players on that team, and for them to lose him for the first six games, that is a horrendous blow for the Cardinals.
And we do have a caller calling in, a guest caller. Telephone number is 917-889-7828. That is the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Thank you for your patience. I know you've been on the hold for a minute. This is the Cave Show with PLR. You have PLR, and you have the one and only Ed Cole.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. This is Lou from Jersey.
Lou, what's up, buddy? How are you?
Hey, what's up, Lou?
All right. Hello, Ed. Okay, so what's the thing here with maybe Zion maybe going back to Duke? I mean, you know, I mean, he has heart set on going to the NBA, and even his stepdad said he was looking forward to it. So what's the real story here?
Oh, okay. So I'll attack this way. About 6 months ago, Zion's making a move across the middle, slips, foot comes out, he misses some games, everyone's worried about him, everyone comes out and says, you know, half the people say he should never play another college game again. That's it. It's too dangerous. This is why college kids can't get this is why should they play if they can't get paid. Now, all of a sudden, just because he gets drafted by the team that he didn't think he was going to get drafted to, all the people that are saying he shouldn't go back to college and play because he doesn't get paid, now all of a sudden I said, well, maybe he should go back to college. No, he should not go back to college. He should come out, get his guaranteed money, get his $100 million plus shoe deal, play for the New Orleans Pelicans, ball out as much as he can, get his extension, and if they don't get the right type of team together for him at the ripe old age of 26, he'll be a free agent to go wherever he wants. Ed, am I missing something with that analogy?
No, you're correct on that one. I agree with you. He should come out. This is the best shot he's probably going to have, because if he goes back to Duke, there's no guarantee that he won't have a horrific injury like Darius Garland. I mean, he only played 5 games for Vanderbilt, then he tore his ACL and he was out for the season. There's no guarantee that Zion's going to make it all the way through an entire season with Duke next year and be completely healthy. There's no guarantee. You don't know if he's going to be 100% come this time next year when the draft lottery comes back around. And if he does stay healthy, yes, he'll most likely be the number one pick next year if he decides to go back to Duke. But like you said, strike while the iron is hot. Go, like you said, go to New Orleans. I mean, his stepdad come out and said, hey, we're excited about coming to New Orleans. I mean, it's a chance in the NBA. You're the number one pick. Yes, it's not the New York Knicks, but still, you're playing in the NBA, Paul and Lou. This is your dream to be an NBA basketball, to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. So what is New Orleans? They have a good basketball team there. And he's got a better chance to be more successful there with New Orleans, with the pieces they have there, than he does in New York, even if they do add somebody like Kyrie or KD. I mean, they're much more further along than the New York Knicks are.
Let me ask you a question.
Yes.
What if he goes back into the draft and the Pacers get the number one pick, or Detroit gets the number one pick? Are those cities more alluring? Is Indianapolis and Detroit more alluring than New Orleans? There's no guarantee who's going to be bad and get number one. So
right.
Come out now. I mean, there's no guarantees in any of this. This is the deal. But you're getting guaranteed money. Come out and get your guaranteed money. New York isn't going anywhere. Believe me, in 7 years, the Knicks will still suck.
Oh, gee, thanks a lot.
he's right.
I know, but then to rub it in.
I'm
but
just
Lou,
saying,
it's
Lou.
True. I mean, they're far from contending. Yes, you know, they ship guys off, and it's a bad situation in New York, and it would have been great if Zion went there, obviously for the league and for the city of New York and the Knicks, and for him as far as marketability goes. But it is what it is. I mean, this is the cards that have been dealt.
Yep.
Mm.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
What else you got for us, Lou?
All right. Well, so far, of course, the draft lottery on Tuesday. Well.
Mm-hmm.
Should there be a better system than the NBA draft lottery? Because I think it's got, you know, a major flaw. I mean, once upon a time, when the most pathetic team, I mean, a team with the worst record in the NBA, automatically got first pick of the draft. Is there something wrong with this picture, or is it just me with this?
I mean, what it clearly shows to me, Lou, is that tanking doesn't work. Or at least losing as many games as possible. I mean, it didn't work for New York. It didn't work for Cleveland. It didn't work for the team in this state, the Phoenix Suns. They ended up getting the 6th pick. So losing, it just goes to show that the lottery shows that tanking or losing as many games as possible doesn't really guarantee you the first, second, or third pick.
Even though they had the worst odds.
But, well, the worse you are, the better your odds are at getting a pick. But here's why you can't do that. In the NFL, there's only 16 games. And even a bad team on any given Sunday can beat a good team. So let's say you're 3-11, and on your schedule, and I'm going to pick on the Cardinals, say you're San Francisco and you're playing the Cardinals. Someone's got to win that game, right? I mean, someone's got to win. So someone's there's going to be a tiebreaker for the tie. So inevitably, someone's draft spot is going to be altered. In the NBA, you have 82 games. What they're saying to teams is you need to stay competitive as long as you possibly can. Now, if you get to the All-Star break and you have 10 wins, everyone knows that you're not going to try to beat every team. That's why they put the odds in to stretch it out. But from day one, there were teams like Philadelphia saying, we know we're not going to make the playoffs, so we're going to suck from day one, but we're not going to cut these ticket prices, and we're not going to do anything possible to help and relieve our fans. But for the next 3 years, we're going to purposely roll out a G League team and say, oh, well, that's what you get. We have a process. By doing it this way, you stop that. And that's why. 16 games versus 82 games. 16 games, do you know, even if a team is trying to lose, how hard it would be to go 0-16? It's hard to lose every NFL game.
Yes.
It is,
but Cleveland
it is not hard.
Cleveland knows and Detroit knows.
Yeah, it's not hard to roll out G League guys week 3. And that's what NBA teams were almost doing, rolling out G League guys in week, 3 or 4. This stops that. Because what they're saying is, go ahead and lose. Go ahead, New York. Go ahead, Phoenix. Go ahead, Cleveland. Lose all you want. Enjoy pick number 6. So hopefully that'll stop that.
Yeah, we'll see. I can't guarantee that, though, can we? Ugh.
No, you can't.
So,
but what a mess.
But for New York, it sucks to be a Knicks fan. Your owner is busy singing. You got people suing him because they say he sings too much and he shouldn't be paying attention to basketball. You arrest your former old players. You can't name 5 people on your team. The Knicks are in bad shape. It's tough being a Knicks fan. But you know what?
Yes.
I will promise you this, and I got our guest calling in, so I got to jump. But I will promise you, your city was able to draft the guy from Duke.
Yeah, but let's see what's going to happen if he's going to
RJ's
going to
be really good there,
stay
Luke.
Back at Duke.
RJ's going to be
no,
awesome.
That's not the Duke player I'm talking about. You've got a Duke quarterback.
Oh, that. Oh, come on. What does Duke know about football?
All right, my
friend. Oh, jeez.
All right, fellas. We'll talk again.
All right, man.
Thanks, Lou.
All right, thanks again. Lou, good friend of the program.
Yeah.
Good to catch up.
Good dude, man.
Good to catch up with him. Yep. Hey, Ed, listen, coming up right now, we got the man that keeps it all together over at Executive Global Tours. He is the man himself. I don't think there's anybody he doesn't know at all. Now, here's a guy that'll break off $700 to sit in the front row at Madison Square Garden and watch the Knicks play. So he is the golf and sports tour operator over at Executive Global, the one, the only J.P. Cohn. Cheers, mate. How are you?
Hi, I'm good, Paul. How are you, gentlemen, today? Thanks for having us.
Good. You're good.
Yes,
you're on with Ed Cole and myself. Thank you for taking time to join us.
Thank you. Pleasure talking to you both.
So you put together some of the most elaborate golf tours out there with some of the biggest names in sports and sports history. Can you just tell our audience some of the people that you've gone on these golf tours with and some of the places you've gone, and so they can get a feel for exactly some of the things that you've done.
Sure. So the most popular destinations from the States at the moment are, of course, Ireland and Scotland, but Spain and Portugal are getting very popular, and France. France just had the World Cup last year. We worked with Thomas Bjorn, the captain of the European team last year with the Ryder Cup. And also now we just came back from Qatar and Spain. In Qatar, we were with famous football or soccer players. So we do trips also to raise money for different causes, like children with autism, children with cancer, and underprivileged children to go to universities. So we've had from Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, and also hockey. We did a great tour to raise money for ladies affected by lupus with Jeremy Roenick, David Wells, and several of the hockey and baseball greats and NFL greats to Ireland recently, and it went very well. And we have upcoming tours for next year for Notre Dame versus Navy in Dublin. That's going to be a massive game. It was held 12 years ago in Ireland, and it had tremendous amount of alumni that flew over from the States. They reckon about 60,000 to 80,000 will be at the stadium next August for the game. And we're going to combine that with golf, with Notre Dame legends like Tim Brown, Rick Meyer, Steve Berline, Irv Smith, these type of gentlemen. We're also doing the four NFL games in London, and we're doing tours over to see Manchester City and Manchester United and Liverpool in combination with playing golf with those soccer legends.
Did you hear those names, Ed, or was it just me?
Yeah, I heard those names. Wow, that's an all-star lineup for to be able to get together to go on those tours. How hard is that to get all of those talents together in one venue to go on these tours? I'm sure it can't be that hard when you mention all of these different names and it's going for all these great causes that you talked about.
Yeah, so basically what we're doing is we're helping their charities with the tours over to Ireland for the Notre Dame game, Notre Dame versus Navy, and the NFL game. The NFL game, the first game, as you guys probably know, is the Bears. They're playing the Raiders. So we're doing that with Jim McMahon and Tommy Harris and a bunch of the Bears legends. And also Raiders, Napoleon McCollum. You guys probably remember with the tackle that happened to him, but he's a great guy and he was very influential in bringing the Raiders to Las Vegas, I was told.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Now, I do have a favorite Raider, though, and you guys probably know him. His name is escaping me right now. Wait a second. He's not a Raider anymore. He's a Bear.
Max. My gosh. I know who you're talking about. Oh, jeez.
Khalil Mack.
That's his name, right?
Hey, he's a great player.
Yes, he is.
His name escaped me. I loved him so much with the Raiders, and it's just so good to see him in a proper uniform now.
Oh, yeah, with the Bears. Yeah, that's right. You're from Chicago originally. That's right.
Paul is usually Switzerland about everything, but when it comes to Chicago, Chicago teams, he wears his heart on his sleeve. It's not hard to see where his loyalty
is. I know how that is. I'm a suffering Mets fan, a Knicks fan, so it's tough. When I came from Ireland, I started supporting those teams, and I haven't changed. People have tried to sway me to become a Yankee fan or whatever, but you can't.
Have you recovered from the NBA draft lottery and what happened to you?
No, I haven't. No, we've had my colleague Carl Banks from the New York Giants, and we were chatting, and he was in shock.
Again, like I said, in 7 years you'll still have a lottery pick, so don't sweat it.
Yeah.
You can
get Zion in 7 years, right?
How can people go on these tours? They're open. They're open, right? Anyone that would like to go,
yes,
that can purchase trip, they can go.
Yes, the fans can contact us via our website or ring or call us. So it's totally open to all the fans. We encourage all the fans to join us and spend quality time with the current and former players. We're actually going to be doing tours with current NFL players in the off season as well. The destinations will be announced shortly. Irv Smith Jr. to just sign with the Minnesota Vikings, and a number of other second and first round picks will be going on the tour.
Well,
that sounds
Paul,
incredible.
You know, we have an in on that one because we know who Irv's uncle is.
Yeah, Ed. Yes.
Yeah, we look at all the ends we're having here between Ed and JP. I can golf and I do have a passport, so I'm ready.
I'd like.
Oh,
to
you're more than
golf.
Welcome to come, gentlemen. We'd love to have you. You could do a show from, you know, from London or whatever. You know, that would be great.
Let me share this with you. You don't. If you took me on a golfing tour, you just want me, like, I'd show up to be there, but you don't want me tearing up someone's links in London. They would tell you that guy cannot come back. I leave more divots than potholes in Chicago.
Well, I mean, you can leave me on the putting green because I've never played golf before, and I don't want to embarrass myself or you. So just leave me on the little putting range or give me a putt-putt. Take me to a putt-putt course. I'll be fine there.
Well, you'd have a great time since you're from Chicago with Jeremy Roenick. Those Chicago greats are very, you know, they like to challenge you to golf there. They're very good golfers. They're very competitive.
Well, I'll say it like someone from the other side of the pond. Give me a pint and a golf club, and I'll do just fine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You'll have a great time. Now, there'll be a lot to do for you, so... at the moment, there's some great deals to Spain and Portugal for golf, very affordable. And, you know, Portugal isn't been explored by the Americans. It's mostly the English and the Irish at the moment, but you can get really, really a lot of great courses and very affordable rates for the whole package.
Now, you said they could just go online or go to the website, but you got to give everyone the website
Yes, it's executiveglobaltours.com, and our phone number is 646-756-0795, and we can customize these tours for your group. If you have a group of 20 that are, you know, let's say you're in Arizona, you're a Diamondbacks fan or a Cardinals fan, we can organize that with legends from that team.
And they could see a lot of pictures and stuff and places you've gone on your Instagram page. Could you give everyone your Instagram information as well?
Yes. Yes, our Twitter is EGTTOURS, and our Instagram is EGTOURS.
There you go. There you go. Hey,
and another top destination at the moment is Dubai. I don't know if, you know, you've had a chance to go there, gentlemen, but it's another good destination to go to. But I appreciate you having us on today, and hopefully we can get you over to one of the countries soon, guys.
Well, we're going to have you on a lot more, if that's cool with you.
That would be great. We'd love that.
All right, my friend. Hey, listen, thank you for coming on. Thanks for all you've done, and thanks for all the guests that you've given us in the past. Ed, JP gets us a lot of the in contact with a lot of the great guests that we've had on the show. So big time, thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, gentlemen. Great talking to
you both.
Thank
talk.
You so much. Have a great day.
We'll talk soon.
You too. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Hey, Ed, I wasn't recently in Qatar, but I was recently in Shenlar and Awa Tuki. Does that mean anything at all, or not as sexy?
Not as.
No,
but I did some shopping.
I did some shopping at Target.
Oh, okay. No, not close. But I have been to Dubai, Paul. Dubai is a fabulous. It's a phenomenal. It's a beautiful country. Boy, if we can get over there and do the Cape show from there, ooh, we'd be really rolling, wouldn't we?
We would. And you couldn't let it go, right? You had to drop that. Yeah, you had to drop. You've been to Dubai. Just you had to drop that one, huh?
Yeah. You know, this. I thought it was part of the conversation since he mentioned Dubai in passing. Yeah, I've been to Dubai. I've been to Amsterdam. Yeah.
I said Chandler and I were Tukey, man. I was shopping at Target, and now here you go dropping all this. You know what? Let's get back to Patrick Peterson name dropping.
I've been to the red light district. Okay.
Would I name drop? You never hear me name dropping. You wouldn't know anybody I know because I never name drop. Never. You've never heard me say stuff like, well, you know, I had an interview with Zach Crockett and Stephen Hunter and all. You never hear me bring up names of people like that. Never.
No.
No, I don't drop anything.
Oh, boy.
But let's get back on this Patrick Peterson.
Yeah.
He's going to lose 6 games. That's going to be roughly close to $4 million.
About 3.8, 3.9 million, right.
His reputation, this takes a big hit, doesn't it?
It does. It does for his first suspension, and it's definitely going to take a hit. He's definitely going to have to work to get everyone's trust back, especially obviously within the Cardinals organization for this. And judging by the story I'm reading on NFL.com, it says the suspension on a player's first violation stems from a positive test plus an attempt to manipulate or mask the result. So the fact that what this statement says that he tried to manipulate or try to cover up this violation, that's not good. That's not a good look for Patrick. Outside of him getting busted for PEDs, it's just not good. And he's definitely gonna have to work to get the trust back from Cliff Kingsbury, from owner Michael Bidwell, from GM Steve Keim, everyone within the organization, every single Arizona Cardinals fan is gonna have to work hard to gain their trust back and get their love back, because right now it's strained, it's cracked.
And from the outside looking in, and I've had friends that don't live here text me and bust my chops about the Cardinals, even though as much as I like the Cardinals, we all know that, like you said, I ride hard with my Bears. But they've busted my chops a lot. They've said stuff like the Cardinals hire a coach, don't give him what he needs, fires him after 1 year. Your GM gets pulled over for drunk driving. You hire a coach that had a losing record in college. You move up to draft a quarterback only to trade him. He didn't look good because you didn't have anyone that could block for him. Now you go out and get another quarterback to run a system of a coach that's going to run a system that we don't even know is going to be successful. And more than likely, he's going to start because you have your GM on one radio show saying he's definitely our starter. At the same time, mm-hmm. you have your head coach on another radio show saying there's going to be an open competition. And now we get to this. And in all honesty, people are looking at the Arizona Cardinals, like they're kind of a joke right now. Not just Patrick Peterson's reputation, but doesn't this add to that lingering what are the Cardinals doing reputation?
It does, because if you're Cliff Kingsbury and you're Michael Bidwell, Steve Keim, you want this offseason to be as quiet as possible, and it is anything but quiet. Now with this Patrick Peterson thing coming up and everything with Josh Rosen and the lack of communication from what he said between him and Steve Keim, and that thing just went out of proportion. Like you said, you mentioned Keim's DUI arrest last year and his suspension from owner Michael Bidwell, and now everybody's wondering how is this offensive system going to work? Is Kingsbury's system going to work? Is Kyler Murray actually going to work and be successful within the system? Are Kingsbury and Kyler Murray, who Kingsbury had a love affair with clearly, when he was in college, is this thing actually going to work? And now you pile on this situation with Patrick Peterson, it's just like the weights and everything just get even heavier for the Arizona Cardinals. It's not the offseason that they wanted to have happen, and this is really this is terrible as they get ready to head toward, you know, mini camp and OTAs and training camp. It's just not a good look, not a situation that the Cardinals wanted to look at. They did not want this to happen. But again, it is what it is. This is the situation that they're faced with. And now how do they get out of it? How do they get through this?
The voice you hear co-hosting with me today on the Cave Show, PLR, that's the voice of the one only, Ed Cole. We're taking it back the way we used to do it. Vegas is not picking his team to win a lot. One of the things that went into them and their wins, their over-under and all that stuff, and where we think they're going to land in NFL was how successful will they be to find a cornerback to play opposite Patrick Peterson. Now with him out to start the first six games, you're not just looking for a cornerback to run opposite. You're looking for a cornerback that can fill his shoes, which is almost impossible considering he's, if not the, one of the best cornerbacks in the league. And you're opening up with a rookie quarterback, an offensive line that's not proven, a running back that has to prove that he's worth the money that they gave him last year, a young wide receiver in Christian Kirk, an aging wide receiver, an aging superstar, and Larry Fitzgerald, and you're opening up against teams like Carolina and who likes to pass, the Lions who like to pass, Russell Wilson.
You go on the road to Baltimore, and you go to Cincinnati too.
Talk to me. I don't want to say doom and gloom before the season starts, but that seems like a rough start without your best defensive player, arguably, and a rookie quarterback.
Yeah, it's a horrific look ahead toward toward the season. But the Cardinals picked up Robert Alford in free agency. They picked up Tremaine Brock in free agency. So they do have veteran leadership that can jump in and man those corner positions. But again, Alford and Brock are not Patrick Peterson. So it's what we always talk about, Paul. It's the next man up theory. You know, yes, we don't want to see Patrick Peterson suspended for six games, but it is what it is. It's a situation that we're faced with. Patrick brought this on himself, and now he brought it on the Arizona Cardinals. So now the Cardinals have to pick up the slack, and let's see what Alford can do. Let's see what Tremaine Brock can do, what the other young corners can do once they get into camp and see how these competitions go and who's going to step up and who's going to be the number one, number two guy, who's going to be the great the guys to back up Alford and Brock, or however they figure out, however Vance Joseph, the new defensive coordinator, figures out how he wants his cornerback positions to run until week seven and when Patrick returns against the New York Giants. But you're right. They open against Detroit, Baltimore, Carolina, Cincinnati, Atlanta. Those are really, really tough games to go to, tough teams to face, minus Patrick Peterson.
Switching up a little bit, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I don't like the way he said it, but I actually agree with him. I personally think Joe Flacco is a tool, to be honest with you, outside looking in. I don't know the guy personally, so I'm not talking on that angle. I'm talking about the stuff he says as a football player. And when he came out and said, you know, it would be a mistake for them to draft a quarterback because they'll have to go through me. Then the Denver Broncos drafted a quarterback, and he came out and said, you know, my job isn't to mentor or to teach. And although I think he comes off as a jerk, honestly, I agree with him in that it's a rookie's job to follow you and learn your habits. I don't think Joe Flacco should be expected to teach someone how to take his livelihood away from him. Am I wrong in thinking that?
No, I agree. You know, yes, you're a team. You know, you're going to eventually whittle down to 53 players, and you're going to have 46 on Sundays. But still, you know, you got to look out for number one, even though, yes, you are a football team. Yes, Joe Flacco is the quarterback of the Denver Broncos, and you have Drew Lock behind him. But still, you know, it's your job. You know, you still have to look out for number one, even though it's a team effort. But still, Joe Flacco has to look out for Joe Flacco. And there's nothing wrong with teaching Lock along the way. I mean, Drew Lock says, yeah, he's taught me a lot so far. And that's part of what Joe Flacco has to do as a veteran quarterback, as a Super Bowl champion. he has to groom a young guy like Drew Lock, but he doesn't have to totally give the reins completely over to him. I mean, if it's a competition and the OTAs, the mini camp and training camp, and should Drew Lock look good enough to take over the starting position from Joe Flacco, then Flacco has to tip his cap and say, hey, young fella, hey, I'll give you all the props. You play better than me. You look better in the preseason. You look great in training camp, and you won the job. But if that's not the case, then Drew Lock has to fall back and say, grab that clipboard, and he has to learn from a borderline Hall of Famer.
You know, I once heard Herm Edwards say in an interview session that I was in that in Pee Wee football, everyone plays. In high school football, just about everybody makes a team. In college football,
right,
there's a lot of scholarships, a lot of teams. So if you get out there, you're probably going to find a team to make or find a team that will play you. But in the pros, it's grown men trying to stop grown men from making their house payment. And
yep,
at the end of the day,
right,
I correlate this to – I worked at Wells Fargo for a lot of years. At Wells Fargo, we hired when positions were open. We didn't ever have someone that you hire – that comes in and tries to outperform a vice president to force the vice president out. And it's not just football. In football, basketball, baseball, soccer, whatever pro sport you want, when you join that team, your job is to make sure another person cannot pay their house payment, cannot pay their car payment. You're not working alongside of them if you're in the same position. You're looking to take their job. And I don't blame Flacco for not helping someone take his livelihood.
Yeah, I mean, Joe's making $18.5 million this year. I mean, the Broncos are paying him almost $20 million to be a starting quarterback. I mean, if he's not good enough in the off season and in the preseason to keep that starting job and take it away from Drew Lock, then what are you paying him $19 million for if he's not good enough in the offseason to secure that starting position as the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos?
Yeah, and he's getting his money no matter what. So.
Oh, yeah, $18.5 million. He's getting bank.
Yep. Switching gears a little bit, the NBA draft, we talked about with the caller, we talked a little bit about Zion, but I'm moving down this draft a little bit, and I have a question for you. It's something I brought up, and then as I'm going through tweets and watching old tapes, I heard Ramona Shelburne, very respected writer over at the Four Letter. Why can't the Suns make a run at Kyrie Irving this summer? And why would he not fit here?
Yeah, why can't they? I mean, you definitely see that they're going in the right direction as far as their front office and their management with James Jones as the general manager, and owner Robert Sarver is actually quiet. He's more behind the scenes. You don't hear really a peep out of him, because I think that Sarver has seen that James Jones is the guy that he wants. He's handing the reins over to him. Of course, Sarver still signs the checks and makes the ultimate decisions because he owns the team and he has the money. He pays everybody's salaries. I mean, he's the last line of defense when it comes to decision making, but still he has given James Jones that responsibility as a general manager to do what he sees fit to make the Phoenix Suns a great organization. And the fact that they got Monty Williams, which is a fantastic hire. I love the hire. Yeah, why can't Kyrie look at this team and say, okay, the front office is becoming more stable. You got Monty Williams there, a very well-respected coach. Okay, you got Devin Booker there. You got DeAndre Ayton. If Kelly Oubre comes back, oh, my gosh. This team is nice.
Yeah.
If Josh Jackson, if he stays here, I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with his future after what happened in Miami. If he stays there, if he gets his head in the game and gets his head right, then, oh, my goodness. Phoenix, oh, my gosh. Phoenix might be rising. Why can't I look at them over New York? Or why can't I look over them over Brooklyn? Maybe I don't want to go back to Brooklyn. Maybe I don't want to go back home to New Jersey and play for the Nets. This Phoenix Suns team is kind of intriguing me. Right, Paul?
I 100% agree. And everyone, and Laker fans are killing me because they sound so entitled when they say stuff like, well, if Kyrie comes here, that would be great. We wish we could keep this person because if we could add this to LeBron, we'll be great. And people need to realize, no, we don't need to realize. I point to this finger one more time, and I say this loudly one more time. The Lakers have won 16 titles. The Lakers have had great players their entire history. But recent history, Monty Williams, who was a very respected coach, picked Phoenix with all his bad pub, with mm-hmm. all his bad press, with the fact
right.
saying that the owner meddles too much. He picked Phoenix over the Lakers
over
who
LA.
Have LeBron
yes.
James. Now,
yep.
I want LA fans to really stop and think about that for a minute. And it reminds me, I don't know if you ever saw this movie, Couples Retreat, with Vince Vaughn and all these people.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where this guy's wife jumps out of a boat and swims to shore. And Vince Vaughn looks at him and says, think about this. Your wife chose to jump out of a boat into shark-infested water and swim in something she hasn't trained for to shore instead of staying in a dry boat with you. That's what I think. We have a coach that chose this as opposed to a team with history and LeBron. That has to tell you something about yourself if you're the L.A. Lakers
yeah.
and an L.A. Laker
right.
fan.
And then the fact, Paul, that things fell apart between them and Tyronn Lue, and now Tyronn Lue is not the head coach, but they not that they fall back on Frank Vogel. Frank Vogel's a great coach. I mean, he's got a great history in himself, very good pedigree, great resume on his own. But the fact that Ty Lue wasn't able to – LeBron's former coach that he won a championship with, that fell together. Those talks and that negotiation fell together. So now they don't have Tyronn Lue, and now you have Jason Kidd as an assistant coach to Frank Vogel, and what's going to happen in 2 years when Jason Kidd is going to want to become the Lakers head coach? You know he's not going to want to be an assistant coach on the Lakers for long before he ultimately wants to be the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers. What's that going to do as far as morale, as far as their chemistry, as far as an organization? That's going to make it even worse than it is right now. You know that's going to happen, Paul. It's coming.
Yeah, and you know what makes it so funny is everyone is saying, well, they only wanted to give him a 3-year deal to coincide with LeBron's contract. We don't know what these guys are going to do to balance LeBron and what he wants and what he demands versus young players. So there are very few coaches, and I think Phoenix lucked out with Monty because he coached a veteran team, and then he was a coach of a rebuild that made it back to the playoffs. But there are very
yeah.
few coaches in this league that can coach young players and vets. And this is a situation where you're not coaching just young players and vets. You're coaching young players and a very specific vet who wants things done a certain way. And, Ed, no matter how people don't want to say it, I may be the only person that will. LeBron James is an aging superstar. And when you're an aging superstar – your mind tells you you're still as great as you were 8 years ago. When there's a lot of things you do that are still great, it's just not as consistent, which means you need more help. And if that
mm-hmm.
help can't come in the way of veterans, but young guys, you need to know that when this bridge is over in 2 years, that you have that. And I say 2 years because LeBron has a player option in 2 years. So, well, I think it's more complicated than people are making it seem.
It is, and the fact that you know, there's reports obviously that LeBron is so different. He's not easy to work around or be around, and we know his history and what happened with all the AD the courting of AD before the trade deadline, and how all those young players were hung out to dry when he was trying to get AD to come there. And it's just not a good look on the way that he treats players. And now you look at what they talk about with Kyrie and the situation in Boston, and you're like, okay, well, if Kyrie seems to be a chip off the old block from LeBron, he learned something from LeBron on how he treats his teammates or his former teammates.
You want to hear something crazy, Ed? You know who I blame for Boston this year? Believe it or not, I don't blame Kyrie as much. I don't even blame their head coach that much. I actually blame Danny Ainge.
Brad Stevens? No.
Mm. No, I actually blame Danny Ainge because here's why. If you are Golden State and Boogie Cousins comes in, Boogie Cousins is like, yo, man, I know I'm a vet. I'll take this minimum. Put me where you need me.
Yeah.
I want to win a ring. I've made a lot of money, but I want to win a ring. I want to show people that I can play in any situation with anybody. A lot different. You could bring in Maurice Bates and all these other older guys and get Iguodala to take less money and Livingston to take less money because they've won titles. If you're in Boston, it's not the fact that you don't have enough basketballs. It's here's a guy in Terry Rozier last year that is up for a new contract. And last year he went out and balled out to the point, and he's still a 30-some percent shooter, so I'm not making it seem like he's the second coming of Steph, but he balled out to the point where he showed you, I can get better with more time. I was part of a team that went all the way to Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals, and now you come back this year in the year where he's going to prove to you how good he is and that he can make money, and you're going to give him 10 minutes a game. And you have Jason Tatum, who in the playoffs last year thought he was the second coming of the next best thing, but then Gordon Hayward comes back, and now he's taking a backseat to him. It's not that you'd had too many stars or too many young stars. You had your young stars in redundant situations, positions, where they're playing behind a vet that's getting guaranteed money, and now their minutes are cut, and they don't have a ring. They don't have a lot of money in the bank, and they want to play to prove themselves. It's a lot different situation, and this one I think Danny Ainge missed the ball on, because young dudes aren't like there just to sit and wait. They want to show, and you put your best young players behind guys that they're never going to get time with.
It's a double-edged sword when you talk about a team that has so much talent, as the Boston Celtics have and possibly had, depending on what Kyrie decides to do. Or, you know, what happens with whatever happens in free agency. That's the problem. There's only one ball to go around. There's only 48 minutes of basketball. There's only five positions that you can play at a given time at any given second in a basketball game. And, you know, when you're trying to balance this out and trying to balance egos and playing time with all these different guys and one guy's getting more time than the other guy who's just as talented, if not more talented than that person that's out there in his position – I mean, it's hard. It's a hard, a tough juggling act for a head coach like Brad Stevens or a general manager like Danny Ainge. That's the problem when you have too much talent. You know, not everybody's going to get the playing time that they deserve, and not everybody's going to be happy, especially these young kids.
Especially when they're up for a contract. If you just look at Milwaukee, the team that eliminated them, you have guys that aren't your young guys in the positions behind the stars. You have Bledsoe being backed up. His name just escaped me. My man that played for San Antonio and then Indiana and then Cleveland. He's coming in, spelling him. That's not a young guy. That's a veteran with the ring. So Eric Bledsoe, he's not threatened by what Eric Bledsoe is doing as a starter in his contract because he knows he's not going to ascend past that. You have Mirotić coming
about George
in. George, thank you. You have Heritage coming in. You don't have a young guy backing up the Freak. So he knows what his role is. Danny Ainge put young, hungry guys trying to prove themselves behind vets that are going to take their minutes. That's different. You can't do that. And if you look around the league at all the teams that have been good, you don't see that. You don't see that as their hierarchy. Having young dudes, and that's the problem, I think. That's the problem. I do have to call you out on something, though. Ed Smith was on Monday, and we talked about it, and I told him how you convinced me that James Harden should be the MVP. But I do remember being on Casual Sports one night, and you were on, too, and I do believe the Houston Rockets in the playoffs. I remember you saying, maybe not this year. Ed, when the playoffs start and the going get going and the tough have to come up, Mike D'Antoni doesn't make adjustments and James Harden disappears. I don't want to be right, but dog it, I was again.
Yeah, you were. It's man. And boy, did they not have it set out for them, Paul. They had no KD. It was game 6. In Houston, there was no better shot than They had no better shot than what the Rockets had that night to knock off the Warriors and maybe go back and win, win game seven back in Oakland, because KD wouldn't have played that game either, obviously, because he didn't play game one against Portland. So he was out. So, man, the fact that they could not finish at home is just so disappointing. And that, I mean, it was their best shot, Paul, and they couldn't seize the moment. You got to seize the moment when that opportunity's there. Oh. And you shut out Steph Curry in the first half, and then you let him go off for 33 in the second half. I mean, there's not much. I mean, what can you do about that? When Steph is on like he was the other night against Portland, I mean, Golden State's doggone near invincible.
Ed, you know what? They gave Houston, they set up a date with Tyra Banks for Houston. gave them the Bentley, gassed it up, bought the suit, paid for dinner, got the private jet, and you got in the car and you forgot the address.
That's equivalent. That's equivalent to what happened, right?
All you had to do was remember the address, and you forgot it. All Houston had to do was make adjustments, and they didn't. All James Harden had to do was not disappear. And this is where I look at all those analytical geeks and I say, the next time you come at me with this person hit this many shots under 2 minutes, with the game within three, within this, within that, and this, I'm going to open hand slap them in the face like Dave Chappelle did on that show. I'm tired of that. Clutch is with under 2 minutes left, you're not committing a turnover and losing a possession. Clutch is not with 7 minutes left, you throwing three errant passes to give you four turnovers in the quarter. If you hit a shot, the three he hit or the layup he hit, analytically will say he hit a shot with under 2 minutes left with his team within five. So analytically, that makes him clutch. But if you watched him with your eyes play the whole fourth quarter, he is not a clutch player. Give me Kobe. Give me Michael. Give me
Kawhi.
Give me Kawhi. Give me Kenny Smith. Give me guys that I know are going to play hard, Vernon Maxwell, that are going to play hard an entire fourth quarter, an entire
game.
Give
me Clyde.
And not just match an analytical stat to tell me some crap. Miss me with that. I'm not following that.
No, just look at his stat, James's stat line. I mean, it took him 25 shots to get 35 points. He missed five free throws. That was the difference in the game. A 5-point loss. You make those other five free throws. It's a different game. But then you look at you scroll over a little bit more to the right, Paul, under the turnover, and you talked about that, six turnovers. I mean, just a doom, just an absolute killer in game six.
And four in the fourth quarter. It's not like six came in the first half where you could recover. And that's why, listen, people say I'm a LeBron James hater. I am not. And they say, well, he averaged a triple-double pretty much in the finals. Imagine where they would have been if he wasn't there. Dude, you got swept. How much worse could it have been? Yeah, you averaged a triple-double, but you got swept.
But you got swept.
And only one game were you competitive. The other three games, Golden State had their foot on your neck. So don't tell me that, well, if it wasn't for his triple doubles, where would they have been? In the same spot. If you get
swept,
they still would have got swept. And he almost served a triple double. They got that one game. Dude, they lost in five. The only game they won was the you're not going to dance on my court game when you hit 27 threes as a team. That's what gets me about analytics. He should be the MVP because he averaged a triple-double. His team lost four games to one. The triple-double at that point is meaningless. As much as I'm a fan of Russell Westbrook, he comes up small in playoffs because he takes challenges the wrong way. And so he shoots his team out of games. I don't care if he averaged almost a triple-double in the playoffs. His team lost. And it wasn't a Game 7 loss. They got to beat 4-1. That's an embarrassment.
Yeah.
I don't care what you averaged. So that's where I missed all that nonsense. Before we get out of here, a couple quick things. Reversing back and going back to where we started with Patrick Peterson, real quick, his golf tournament is this weekend. Ed, that leaked before the golf tournament. And while we were on, I noticed that Dan Bickley sent out that that was one thing he wanted possibly suppressed until after the golf tournament. That's something he's going to have to address this weekend, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, he can't not show up to his event and avoid the media. I mean, it's out there, obviously. You know, the Cardinals sent out a statement from the Cardinals saying, quote, Patrick recognizes how disappointing this is for everyone in the organization as well as our fans. As we all do, he understands that regardless of his intent, he is ultimately responsible for everything he puts in his body. Our coaching staff and our players are now aware that we will have to play the first six games without Patrick, and they understand they have to rise to the challenge that it presents, unquote. So it's out there. I mean, it's a matter of public – public fact. It's out there, and Patrick cannot go away from his golf tournament and not address the media because it's there. I mean, he brought this on himself by taking performance-enhancing substances, so now he's got to be a man and own up to the mistake that he made. And if it has to happen at the golf tournament, that it is what it is. He's going to have to man up and just go through it.
You
decided to do what you did. You decided what you had to do with PEDs. This is the end result. These are the consequences from doing what you did and trying to cover it up.
Do you think that the Cardinals should have squelched this until after the golf tournament?
Paul, I don't know how can they do that? They cannot. Patrick cannot have his golf tournament and the media. You know the media is going to be there. He cannot avoid the media at his own golf tournament. He has to address this. There's no ifs, ands. They can't. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Do you think they should have tried their best to keep it hidden until after the golf tournament, though? If they could have done anything, or just let the chips fall where they may?
I just think it was going to come out eventually. I mean, somebody, you know, NFL sources, obviously they would have gotten to Ian Rappaport or Adam Schefter anyway, whether it was before, during, or after the golf tournament. It just happened to be on a Thursday afternoon, the Thursday before his golf tournament. It's horrible timing. I guess there's never good timing when you announce that your star cornerback is suspended for six games. There's never a good time to do that. So it's on a Thursday afternoon before his golf tournament. Again, Paul, it is what it is. This is life. This is the cards that we've all been dealt, and we've got to roll with it. And Patrick is the one most – having to roll with it because it's on him.
Yeah, nope. I'm with you. I'm with you.
And like I said, Paul,
you know,
I feel bad for the young man because I know him personally. Again, I've covered him ever since he got drafted by the team in 2011, and my heart breaks that this happened to Patrick Peterson. I know the kid. He is such a great young man. He's a husband. He's a father. He's a great family man, and I feel bad for him. But again, he's a man. He decided to do this. He has to be a man. He has to own up to this, and he has to suffer the consequences. But my heart goes out to Patrick Peterson. But still, it's something he decided to do, and these are the consequences he has to suffer through.
Yo, bro, tell everyone how they can keep up with what you got going on.
Yes, sir. Twitter and Instagram at
EdCole43. Hey, real quick before I let you go, I was watching the show the other night. Sanford and Son.
Yeah.
And it was the episode where Lamont decided to change his name to Kalunda.
Yeah.
And Rollo was walking out the door, and he looked at Fred, and Fred said, "You take care of it here." And he said, "Ogunda, Jack." Dude, Rollo was a fool. And I bring that up to say, I know it's been a couple
rest
months,
peace,
but
Rollo.
Yo, man, rest in peace, Rollo. Yo, man,
yes.
It was like old times. I appreciate you hanging out with me today.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me on, man. I appreciate it.
Always. Hey,
love you,
dude. The fam, I said, what's that?
Give the family my love, dog.
All right, you too, brother. I appreciate you.
All right, man. Later.
All right, man. The one and only, Ed Cole. quickly, Instagram, the Twitter, Facebook fan page, at Sports Cave, Caves with a K, sportscave.com, Caves with a K, PLR on Sports on the Twitter. Thank Ed Cole for closing with me. Thank JP Collins for giving a call in, Executive Global Tours, and thanks for the callers. Until tomorrow, it's been the Sports Cave, the game show with PLR.